Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointsTC.
Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointsTC.
Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of the California Angels and the city of Los Angeles, on the occasion of Her Majesty's royal visit, please welcome internationally renowned opera star Enrico Palazzo.
Hey, it's Enrico Palazzo!
You should have been pulled in the front room. They have faith in you.
What's up, everybody? Welcome in. Palazzo Podcast, 2 L's, 2 Z's. Guys, it's been a hell of a day. Trade deadline. Joined by two of our Palazzo pals here, Britt Allen, 2 L's. Big General Ben, Benjamin Chase, our prospects guru. Gentlemen, how are we doing on this fine trade deadline day? Everybody take a breath and kind of relax a little bit and kind of decompress.
I just got the phone call. I'm headed to Minneapolis tomorrow. I'm the new closer in Minnesota. So I just thought you guys might want to know that I was the only one not traded. So I by default, I am now the closer. So.
Hey, I'm picking you up then in my league. So how much fab does Ben Chase go for?
All of it.
if it goes by the pound, you guys are paying heavily. All right. Anyway.
Worth every penny, Ben. Worth every penny. You're the Otani of the Palazzo podcasters.
Oh, hell yeah.
So I think I'll pop this up just because this is one thing I want to bring up right away. It was a fast and furious end. There's a lot of interesting things that happened today. But I got to say, as far as actual impact guys that moved, other than closers or like top end relievers,
yeah,
it was really, Uncle Ted says, what a nothing burger. He's not wrong. There's a lot of the big names, the Sandy Alcantara, the, you know, really any guy of any major impact, Joe Ryan, all these guys, nobody moved. Those type of guys all stayed put. And so that, I could see where it could be a disappointing trade deadline. But guys, is there a better trade deadline in professional sports at all than Major League Baseball's? I mean,
not close.
Baseball needs to figure out free agency, because this is what the first day of free agency is like in basketball and in football. But nobody can touch this as far as a trade deadline. So,
yeah.
Yeah, totally, it was fun, agree. Man. Fast and furious. I watched MLB Network. And if I had a dollar for every time those guys said the name AJ Preller, I would be a multi-billionaire. They all own shares of AJ Preller stock. And I realized that the Padres made 50 moves today, literally their entire prospect organization. But yeah, a whole lot of Padres talk. I love it. And another thing that they were going nuts about was the Twins trade Carlos Correa. And the guys were like, oh my God, the Astros got Correa back. And I was like, wait a minute.
Who cares?
Let me check my calendar. What year is this? Because his last good year was 2017. So unless I got in a DeLorean with 1.21 gigawatts, I think y'all are going a little overboard for a washed up, often hurt shortstop that's hit 7 home runs for the year, you know, yippee doodle. But whatever, you know, I guess he's a big name.
The return is a pitcher that was DFA'd in the offseason. And the Twins still had to give up $30 million in order to make that work.
Yeah.
That very well may take the cake as the worst trade of the day.
Good for Brooks Lee, though. I think it's a good trade for the Twins. They dump Correa. Yeah. He's not doing anything anyway. So yeah,
get Brooks Lee. Kieschel is right there. Kieschel's right there as far as coming back. You got rid of Ty France. All of a sudden, there's a lot of opening around that Minnesota infield. And there
don't they have like guys Emmanuel, who want to play? Yeah, Emmanuel Rodriguez, and he one of their main guys. They've got
but he's hurt in the minors. So
yeah.
I mean, Walker Jenkins is in double A, but, you know, he's still kind of getting healthy. They don't really have a whole lot of big-time guys. They did acquire in the trade that sent away France and Varland. They got Alan Rodon, and I don't know if you guys remember from the start of the year, he was kind of a big idea thing in with Toronto. High on-base guy, could be a very interesting – could be a very, very interesting setup here to bring Rodon in. Rodon is a guy who has some experience at first base. So, you know, you could see a lot more playing time for guys like Larnach and Wallner, but you could also see Rodon fitting in while those guys get extra playing time.
He's got a great first name. I think that's the most important thing that we can take away from Alan Rodon. Great first name. He almost spells it correctly. Almost. But, no, in all seriousness, one of my favorite trades was the Padres getting O'Hearn and Roman Laureano from the O-Face, the Baltimore Orioles. Mike V, give us your take. I have no idea what you're about to say. I can't wait. Tell me what you
think. Well, you know, the big thing is I think a lot of people were upset with, you know, the O's were – World Series contenders a couple of years ago. Now we're back to a rebuild. These guys were never really part of our future anyways, between O'Hearn, Laureano, and Mullins, especially guys like Mullins who are on expiring contract. Gregory Soto, Sir Anthony Dominguez, like those guys were never going to be part of the future. We still have a great core intact. And Ben, I'm going to pass this ball back to you. In my opinion, the haul that we got back for both of those guys from San Diego, I was rather happy with. And even the reliever that we got from Mullins, who touched at 104 miles per hour down in the minors too, name's losing me here. But we got a 6'8" lefty, great fastball, and a great curveball as well for my homework or research that I did on him. I feel like we got a lot in return for both of those guys. Would you agree with that, Ben? You're on mute.
And I hit the button, and I apparently I didn't hit it hard enough or something. But on coming into today, and I'm trying to blank, I'm blanking on his name, but the Orioles in one of their earlier deals, in my opinion, had one of those guys. He's not on a top 30 list or on a top 100 list, but very likely to be one of the better prospects when all is said and done that got traded today. The Padres basically traded what was left of their 2024 draft to the Orioles. And one of the things we said in the offseason, if you paid attention when we did the big three next three on the Padres, Robbie and I brought up that guys that are being drafted by the Padres are basically rentals. They're there until they That's get true. Traded. But the thing that they do is they get a lot of these high upside guys. And they try to get a little juice, squeeze just a little juice so they can create some trade interest. And then they flip them. And, man, the Orioles cleaned house with that Hearns and O'Hearn and Laureano trade. I just thought, you know, the Braves basically released Laureano last year about this time. And look at him, now he's part of a deal that brings back that level of talent. That was crazy.
Yeah. Guys, we got our first question here. It comes from Iz on Twitter. He says, is Logan Henderson coming up after the Nestor Cortez move? Interested to hear y'all's take. I believe the rotation's already set because Nestor wasn't part of it already. So I don't see a spot open for Logan Henderson unless they try to piggyback maybe off of Jacob Mizorowski's starts and limit both of their innings. But, Britton, I'll start with you. What do you think here? Is Logan Henderson worth an ad?
I definitely think so. I love Logan Henderson. He's so good. He's a bulldog. He's a fighter. He was very successful when he made his starts. And they're monitoring Jacob Mizrowski and his starts. Like, he's going 3-4 innings. So, you know, are they going to bring up Logan Henderson and he's going to, you know, be their sixth inning guy? I don't know. Brandon Woodruff, how long does he stay healthy? I don't know. Quinn Priester has been amazingly effective. Is that going to last? Would you bet your life on it? No. But if you look at his metrics, no. But yeah, I'm all for Logan Henderson. I think he's a great stash. But you know, there's some other pieces are going to have to fall in place. But what do you think, Ben? Are you a Logan Henderson fan?
I am a fan of Henderson. I'll be honest, I was kind of expecting this to end up being a clear out the back end of the decks for the Brewers sort of trade deadline where they kind of they're obviously competing. And so you thought the Cortez deal made perfect sense to me. That's a guy that's not Same. In their future plans. You get rid of him. I really thought somebody like Tobias Myers also gets out of there, clearing up a future spot for sure. But then they went and part of their deals today, they ended up acquiring Jordan Montgomery, who's coming back next year.
Yeah.
Which really, I mean, granted, they need the lefty, but gosh, that just it boggles the mind sometimes what teams do. But the other end of things, I really, you know, they have Robert Gasser coming back soon. This is a really, really full rotation of a lot of guys that you can't trust as far as their depth. I mean, even Priester. Priester's been great. But if it's the end of September and I need a solid start, am I really putting all my eggs into the Quinn Priester basket? You know, that
would be a very anxiety-filled basket.
Yes.
With the Quinn Priester. But Jose Quintana, too, like, he's on a one-year deal. You know,
yep.
There's a lot of Freddy Peralta has been under the radar fantastic this year. I know, like, his last start was probably his worst of the season. But other than that, I don't think anyone's talking about how good Freddy Peralta's been. He's a straight up ace.
Yeah, so, Peralta's a straight ace. That's not the issue for them. It's kind of the Tigers issue right now is, you know, the Tigers have game one figured out. Who's coming after that? And that's kind of where the Brewers are right now. But they've got the depth to figure it out. And the Tigers have kind of have done the same thing with their rotation is they got a lot of guys that they'll figure out who's two and three.
Can we do a segment real quick? I love, you know, like sleepers and busts and all those hot, but you know, all those keywords. Let's do winners and losers of the day. First impressions. No one's holding you to anything. Mike, Virginia, how about you go first? You're not allowed to talk about the O's because you have that orange haze in your eyes. You can't see clearly. You can't see clearly. You're not objective. But so take the A's out of it. What do you think? Oh, wait a minute. I'm sorry. It looks like someone's been kidnapped and there is currently a ransom demand.
Guys, I don't have much time. I just wanted to say the Rockies win the trade deadline. That's right, baby. Goodbye, Kinley. Hop on off to Atlanta. We don't care. We've got future closer Austin Smith, the 18th round pick. Suck it, Braves fans. He's mine. And what's that? We've had another bird fly away. That's right. The Yankees can have him. Jake Bird. Goodbye. Soft landing coming for my boys, Rock Riggio and Ben Shields. Oh, yeah. Riggio, the second baseman, fourth round pick in 23. He's in double A this year with a 937 OPS. Yes, queen. And Shields, a left-handed pitcher, 6'4", 210. He's played at four levels this year because no one drafted him. 353 ERA, 35 and two-thirds innings pitch with 42 Ks. Go, Rockies, go.
Robbie Baseball, everybody.
Hey, way to go, Robbie. I love it.
Love it.
Hey, Ben, did you know that we turned into a Rockies? I guess you did know that because you deal with Robbie Baseball, but Yeah. On our show, too, we've turned into a Rockies podcast. Does anyone know why? I don't. Maybe it's none of us live in Denver, as far as I know.
I don't know.
No, I mean, yeah, that's a darn good question. Yeah. But to go back to what you said, I think there's one, to me, there's an obvious loser as far as what they needed to do. And that is the Boston Red Sox. I really like Dustin May next year. But I think he's working to get to where he needs to be. I think Steven Matz as a multi-inning reliever, that's a really nice pickup, but I think they got swooned on that. That's like the one solid deal the Cardinals made was getting Blaze Jordan, because, you know, he's not an all hype name anymore, guys. He's actually figured out how to play the baseball. And, you know, the only deal that I think the Rays screwed up is potentially Griffin Jacks. But they have Griffin Jacks for multiple years, but they had to trade Taj Bradley to get him. And I kind of wonder if they're going to regret that in the future along the lines of another deal they made with the Twins where they traded Joe Ryan in order to get Nelson Cruz for a short burst. It could be a very similar long-term thing for them that they're regretting that deal. But the rest, the Rays really did very well. The Dodgers, how the heck did the Dodgers pull off what they did in that Zach Littell deal? How on earth? They come in and they offer a 4A catcher and they get back a 4A catcher, but they also get a legit pitching prospect back. I mean, holy cow. How, yeah. This is why the Dodgers stay the Dodgers. It's
yeah. Agreed. I would agree with you on the Red Sox one as well. That's the first one that came to my mind, just because they're in the thick of things. I felt like they could have used another starter. Like, I would have loved a Joe Ryan for them. They didn't really do much, and I agree with you on the Mats thing too. They got swooned on that. I mean, I get it, lefty, you know, veteran, but at the same time too, you know, I thought they would make at least a bigger splash to keep up with at least the Yankees, who made a lot of splashes in the bullpen. In terms of the winners, you know, I wish I could say that it's between San Diego and Oakland for me, or not Oakland, the Athletics. I thought the Athletics got a great haul for Mason Miller. Yeah.
I loved what the A's got for Mason Miller. I really did.
I mean, Leo, and again, nobody in the comments section bashed me for botching his name. Leo Acuna. Dupree. Yeah. Number three prospect. Yeah. Their number one overall prospect, but the number three prospect in all of baseball for a reliever in Mason Miller. I wonder if they make Mason Miller a starter next year, as opposed to a reliever. I don't know, but somebody threw that out on Twitter and I thought that was interesting. But if I hit, and another person I thought who did really well was the Mets. I thought the Mets made addressed mm-hmm. needs. You know, Cedric Mullins, they needed a center fielder. Robert was too expensive for them. Sounds like he was too expensive for everybody, which that's another segment we'll get into with Britton.
Yes!
That's gold. But they, you know, got Ryan Helsley. They got Rogers. You know, there's a lot of good that came out of that. I thought they'd be in the mix for another starter as well, but looks like they didn't. Britton, I'll turn it over to you next. Who's the first team that comes to mind in terms of who wins the trade deadline?
Well, I thought the Padres were very aggressive. AJ Preller, AJ blah, blah, blah. But they basically bankrupted their farm system to help their team right now. And they did get help. They got Ryan O'Hearn, who's a great hitter, as you know. Roman Laureano, which helps him too. Because if the Padres are in the hunt. Like, they're only three games back from the Dodgers. I mean, I applaud them for going for it, but you know, there's still that kind of that punch drunk thing from when they traded their farm for Juan Soto, and that went nowhere, you know, literally nowhere. But you know, maybe this is it. So I do applaud them for doing that. Mason Miller is a great reliever. They got good hitters. And like Leo DeVries, you know, he's the number three overall prospect, according to, or at least a top 10 prospect, according to most people that, you know, rank prospects. But he's 18 years old. Like, he's 3 years away from MLB. So it makes sense if you're the Padres, because Manny Machado is not getting any younger. Xander Bogaerts isn't getting any younger. Like, they need to go right now. So yeah. I like that for the Padres. The Padres are competitive with the Dodgers. That's a whole lot of fun. And I like the A's, you know, getting a top prospect for a closer. Like, that's great. Like, you yeah. always make that deal. Like, Mason Miller is awesome, but he throws 100 miles an hour. Like, is he going to have surgery within the next 3 years? There's yes. like a 90% chance. Yes. So, you know, but that's just how it is with baseball. So I like what both how that helped both teams with what I think they were trying to do. Ben, am I talking crazy or what do you think?
No, I love the return for the A's, but I also love the idea of the Padres basically being able to just shut it completely down after about the fifth inning right now. I mean, who has a better foursome than Miller, Suarez, Adam, and Estrada at the back of their bullpen? And they have other good relievers too, but those are four of maybe the 20 best relievers in the entire game. And it's all in New York.
Maybe the Mets and the Yankees, but rival that?
Oh, yeah, the Yankees, definitely.
Yeah. Yeah, but I mean that's just it's going to be a very interesting. I'm glad they didn't trade Dylan Cease. I thought they were going to end up doing all that and then pull off some goofy deal that sent Dylan Cease out of town. But you know, the A's got some other pieces in those deal or in that deal that like they're going to be just fine next year as far as where they're at right now translating into next year. They just need somewhere to play. It just stinks that, you know, you feel terrible for the guys on that team, but yeah, that's you want to see that keep going. Hey,
there he is.
Shea Whitcomb's agent.
Hey guys, pleasure to be joining you. So I was just making sure phone's not ringing from Shea. He's a little upset with me.
Oh no.
Yeah, you may have noticed Houston kind of crowded his present and his future with a couple moves, right? Ramon Urias coming in, a little Cack Black there. We were okay at that point. Shea was still answering my calls last night. But this afternoon with the Correa deal, I'm a little worried, guys. I think Houston's done with him, right?
Well, with Correa's injury history, I wouldn't worry just a whole lot about it, to be frank, yeah. to be honest.
You should have Shea on speed dial.
Yeah.
I'm afraid the next call's the one that lets me go. You know, because I've tried explaining he can play second base. You know, he's a shortstop. He'll play second. He'll play third. I don't think he can pitch, guys. He doesn't have a slider. It hangs. So I'm not sure what we're going to do. Yeah, I'm not sure what we're going to do here. But Houston seems to have made some choices. And, I mean, he would have been ideal in Colorado for McMahon. That's the deal Houston should have made, what, 3 days ago before the Yankees swooped in? Really freed my boy, but what did you guys think of those Houston deals?
Me personally, you know, adding Correa just seemed like a rah-rah move for me. I agree with Britton. I mean, he's going to play third, maybe play a little short when Jeremy Pena needs an off day or something like that. But then also too, I don't really understand. I guess Ramon Urias has gone to a bench spot now, right? Like that has to be
immediately.
With the addition of Correa, but I'm kind of with Britton. Like he had a decent year last year, average wise. I mean, he was hurt last year too, if I'm not mistaken. 14 home runs, he hit close to 300, which wasn't bad for Correa. But short porch out there and left. It looks like Isak Paredes is going to be out for at least 2 to 3 months, I guess, with his hamstring. So. I don't know, bottom of the order guy, like, and I guess it's low risk because didn't the Twins pick up a lot of his money too on his contract, if I'm not mistaken?
Just 33 of the 104.
Oh, okay.
But still, even then,
yeah,
they're paying him $33 million not to play for them.
Classic.
But then you add in Jesus Sanchez.
Who, I forgot about him. Yeah.
I mean, you could have an opportunity to get a guy like, you know, Altuve or Dubon into the outfield and open up some time for Whitcomb in the infield. But instead, they decide to bring in Sanchez too. And what I will say is with Yonier Diaz, with basically that entire lineup, they're going to have weeks where they are like 20 runs a game, but they're also going to have weeks where they strike out 17 a game. Like it is going to be feast and famine with that lineup, I think.
The Carlos Correa deal makes no sense. Like, you let Bregman walk, a team leader from those guys. You let Bregman walk, you let Correa walk, and so all you've got left from that team is pretty much Jose Altuve, right? And Jordan Alvarez, I guess, whenever he comes back. But you've got Jeremy Pena, who's recovering. Why bring Carlos Correa back? I don't get it. I think that's kind of a big mistake. But maybe he's like a really, I guess he's like a team leader, and I know he was like the MVP of their run in 2017 or whatever. But I don't like if you're going to let Bregman and Carlos Correa go, let him go. You know, we'll just let him go and start over, because he's super expensive. His WRC plus this year is 97. 100 is league average. Like, it's way too expensive to bring back a kind of league average hurt player that's well past his prime. But that's my take on Correa.
Yeah, I think especially too with Jordan's finger or hand, whatever the hell you want to call it. I'm interested to hear y'all's take on this too, because with the addition of Sanchez, do you think that's good or bad for Jordan? I mean, I think Dana Brown came out and said that he'd rather take 75% of Jordan over the guys they have currently. I wonder if this Jesus Sanchez's move is something that is them.
God, that's just a shot in the. Thanks, boss. Right.
Like, thanks for that. This guy thinks I suck. Yeah. Right? So do you guys think adding a guy like Jesus Sanchez is kind of a little daunting there for Jordan Alvarez and his outlook rest of the fantasy season?
I'm more curious what it means as far as the return of guys like Jake Myers. Mm-hmm. And you know, are they thinking that, because I really never once thought that Jordan was going to come back and actually play outfield. Let's be honest, like that.
Yeah, he'll DH. Yeah,
I mean that was just that's a brutal situation as it is. But, I mean, you're going to end up having a really kind of messed up roster once he comes back, because you know you need everyone that you have acquired to actually play the way that you acquired them to play.
Right.
You know, Walker has just – that's just been brutal this year. You know, do you have – I mean, they're relying on guys like Zach Short right now because the team's just been so rough with injuries. But when they get guys – I mean, they have guys like – I mean, Taylor Trammell has actually led off for them like half of the games this last week.
They didn't address what they needed, which is starting pitching. And I know they got Spencer Arrigetti coming back.
Yeah.
But so you've got Hunter Brown, you've got Framber, who are great. But in their starting rotation, Colton Gordon, okay, Jason Alexander, Costanza, all right, you know, that's great. And then you've got Arrigetti, but they should have gotten out and gotten a starting pitcher. That's what they needed to do. Like Merrill Kelly would have been perfect for this team.
Yeah, really.
Somebody good to give you length and get you to hater. You know, that would have been a great focus. And
Christian Javier comes back too, doesn't he?
Is he even still in their org? I thought he had gone elsewhere.
Mm-mm. No, he's still there.
He is still there. He is still there. Okay.
I think he's on his way back too. He's not too far behind Arrigetti. So.
And Luis Garcia too.
Right.
But those guys are all going to be kid glove. Like,
yeah, absolutely.
Christian Javier, Luis. Luis Garcia, Ronel Blanco, like McCullers, like they're not going six innings. Nothing like close to that. So that's why that's why I think the Astros, and I'm not an Astros fan, I don't even know why I care, but they should have got Merrill Kelly or freaking Zach Gallen, you know, somebody that can go six innings.
Mm-hmm. Going after someone like Dylan Cease didn't make any sense. You got a 1-2.
I'm glad you brought that up. Can someone explain to me why they keep talking about, and I know Dylan Cease is in a walk here, and I get all that, but if you're trading all your prospects for this year, like this, like the Padres did, why would you trade one of your best starting pitchers? Like, that made no sense to me. And no one talked about it. They were just like, yeah, they're in trade talks with Dylan Cease. I'm like, why would you make all those other trades if you're trading Dylan Cease? Like, he's had a rough go of it, but his other underlying metrics look good. Like, he's talented. He's way more talented than Sandy Alcantara at this stage. Like, I think somebody explain that to me, because I don't understand it.
Yeah, I think they were trying to make a move for a left fielder, and using both Cease and Suarez to get a guy maybe like Stephen Kwan or who's the other guy? Or Jaron Duran. I know they say they weren't trading him, I think they were trying to make a splash with those guys and realized that that wasn't going to work out. So, but I agree with you. I always wondered that as well. And even adding, I'll even on the flip side of that coin, even a guy like Robert Suarez too. Like, you just acquired Mason Miller to keep up with the Mets and the Yankees and you know, some of the other strong bullpens that got help. Why would you trade him off? You know, to have him be the eighth inning guy, that ninth of Suarez Miller is great. But Shea Whitcomb's agent here, do you feel like the Astros addressed what they needed to address during the trade deadline? Are you surprised they didn't go out and make a bigger splash for an outfielder?
For a competing team to take a prospect who's been struggling out of the lineup makes sense. I'm sorry, Shea, but to not fill in your rotation, as was mentioned by a couple of you fellows, that is a weakness that will bite them, despite the fact that they're giving Arrigetti one more AAA start before he comes up. That's not depth. That's the fifth guy in your rotation. You need seven. You watch what the other teams do and fill out the bullpen, and you think you don't need to fill out yours, but you need the rotation pieces. Otherwise, you're going to be hoping for an Angels-like meltdown from somebody who just throws players of use on waivers. Right. As we saw, I think, was it 2 years ago, the Angels did that, try to get under the cap number, Grichik and a bunch of other dudes. That's kind of what they left themselves with. There were deals that could have been made, as you guys mentioned. Lots of pitchers that moved, and not necessarily guys that, like Alcantara or anybody, Cease, that we're like, oh, like that would have been a way to go. You don't need to make a big commitment to a lot of these guys. But they also didn't do that work in the offseason, right? They didn't go and bring in a few options to start with in the first place. They went with what they had, which was guys, you know, with short track records and guys with long injury history. And then when it blew up, they looked at the depth of the system and a bunch of guys from AA, as I know Ben is on a show with somebody else on Monday nights, Tuesday nights. They were talking about the depth within the Astro system of guys who might need to be making starts for them if they didn't do anything. And I think there's some guys on that list that might find themselves, Jose Fleury amongst them, getting starts when they shouldn't be, as we've seen Cade and Dana with the Angels do last year. Not that Angels were competing, but they gave him an opportunity that was far too early. So they did not do a good job.
Can I ask a quick question? Can I ask two? Oh, no. Three. I meant three. Hey, Ben, so Freddie Fermin from the Kansas City Royals got traded to the Padres. And obviously they've got Sally and Luke Malley. But the Kansas City Royals have a very, very interesting prospect in AAA, Carter Jensen, who's been tearing it up. Did they move Freddie Fermin? And I have no idea if that's how you pronounce it, but we'll just go with that. Freddie Fermin, kind of anticipating that Carter Jensen may get called up this year?
I really think so. And part of that also has to do the top 10 catching prospects coming into this game or into this season, three of them were Royals.
Hey, if you guys are talking catchers, it's been a blast. Thanks so much.
Oh my gosh. But Blake Mitchell has been hurt some, but he is finally back. And I believe they've got him in AA. And I think they would really like to see him get some AAA time by the end of the year. He's probably a better athlete. Well, I don't know. Both Jensen and Mitchell are both really good athletes for a catcher. but Jensen is probably the better catcher of the two of them. Looks like not, he's still in high A is Mitchell. But if you get Jensen up, Jensen has just been hitting the crap out of the ball since he got promoted to AAA. I think he has something like 9 home runs in AAA, and he's been there a month. You know, 20, so it's been 22. Solid.
He's 22 years old. He's Rule 5 eligible come December. They're going to bring him up because they're going to have to put him on the 40-man to protect him anyway. So I kind of like stashing Carter Jensen with its Rule 5 eligibility coming up in December. They might as well do it because they're going to do it. And it'd be good to get him called up to kind of get a feel for you know the team plus hanging out with Salvador Perez is always a good idea. Yeah. But no more catcher talk. Robbie, I apologize. Well, I did a whole show with Robbie once about catchers, and I talked.
That sounds painful. That sounds painful. I want to pivot here real quick and get into the headliner of the trade deadline, which it seemed like relievers and closers, a lot of guys changing spaces here. The first team and that I want to bring up, because a lot of people have these questions. What are we doing with the Yankees bullpen now that David Bednar and both Camilo Duvall have both been now moved to New York's bullpen? Britton, I'll start with you. So essentially, in my book, you got three guys, possibly even four with Luke Weaver, but Camilo Duvall, David Bednar, and Devin Williams. Who do you like to close out of that bullpen, and what are you doing with a guy like David Bednar if you have him?
I think it's going to be Duvall as the closer. Okay. And I think Williams will do 7, Luke Weaver will do 6, and then Bednar the 8th. Now Bednar's been great since May. But yeah, you know, but before that he was a total disaster. But good for the Pirates for sticking with him and rebuilding his value, because you know, David Bednar was a Pittsburgh guy. Like that's where he's from. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know, fan favorite, you know, heart of the team, mm-hmm. that type of guy. Had a couple rough years, but you know, good, you know, and it works for him too because now he's on a contender. But hey, PNC Park, pitching in PNC Park in the love of your fandom is a whole lot different than walking in a Yankee Stadium and dealing with that. Like he's going to be Alice in Wonderland. Like we're not in Kansas anymore, you know, we're not in Pittsburgh anymore. You're in New York City. And so I don't think they're going to throw him up to be the closer just yet. I think it's going to be Duvall because they really went after Duvall, and they saw something in him, and I think his stuff is wicked. So that's my story, and I'm sticking to it. Ben, what do you think? What do you think about the hierarchy there in New York?
Tonight Devin Williams is still their closer. But I think this is absolutely a sign that, hey, Devin, the crap you pulled from basically April until now this year ain't going to work anymore. And, you know, I know they did demote him at one point already this year and allowed him to work his way back into that spot. But he's got a much, much shorter leash now because they actually have options. Bednar's probably your high floor guy there, while Duvall is definitely your high ceiling. Duvall's definitely the guy that if I need a strikeout, I'm bringing him in. If I need a double play, I'm bringing in Bednar. That's kind of the difference between those two guys, but it gives you a difference. And you add in Weaver too. I mean, they're going to at least have some depth now in that bullpen, and it's really, really good depth. So,
yeah. I would agree with Ben wholeheartedly. What's up, Joe? I think it's still Devin Williams' show, but Ben hit it right on the head that that's a telltale sign for Devin Williams that if he doesn't get his head out of his rear end, that we have options behind you. But it's funny you bring this up, Britton, because I'm glad you did, because you know, we talked about David Bednar and him kind of faltering with the job in Pittsburgh. All of these guys now that they have all gone through that stage at some point over the past year now, right? Camilo Duvall was demoted last year and got sent to AAA. David Bednar, same thing. Devin Williams got demoted out of the role earlier this year. So
it's a great point.
For me, there's a lot of guys, a lot of limbo, right? So I guess, you know, Boone has some options in terms of who he wants to go with, and Ben hit it on the head in terms of your higher ceiling guys, Duvall, but the floor is probably Bednar. Guys, Bednar's been one of the best relievers in baseball over the past month. He's been nails, mm-hmm. but to Britton's point too, it's a lot different playing in Yankee Stadium there too. So would you guys agree that fantasy owners of both Duvall, you know, any of Duvall, Bednar, and Williams, are we holding to kind of see how this shakes out, or would you move on for a guy that maybe is now getting vaulted into the closer role like a Dennis?
Hey, and let's not sleep on Jake Bird. I'm just kidding.
We're sleeping on Jake Bird.
We're
totally asleep. I drank a bottle of Robitussin once, and man, that was a 24-hour sleep. I'm drinking Robitussin.
Jake Bird sleep? Is that what you're saying? That's
a Jake Bird right. sleep, yeah. That's a nighty nighttime sleep right there.
So,
yeah. So now that we've gotten with New York out of the equation here, I wanted to pivot and go to Oakland, which I thought was a good one here as well. We don't have to spend a lot of time here because Oakland's not going to be really in the thick of things for the playoff race. But, Ben, I'll start with you because the guy that a lot of people are going to be speculating on is the guy that they brought up, not Martin.
Jack Perkins.
I believe they had mentioned earlier in the season, Kotze had said that they want to get him in the rotation. Got the save last night, which doesn't really mean anything because I think they're just bridging the gap. But he's been throwing a lot of multi-inning games. Do you see? But for me, I look at it as a sense of Perkins for me is really the only guy who has closer stuff. I think it might be time for them to give him a shot, and at least for this year, to have the role and to kind of save some of his bullets for next year before they vault him into the rotation. But any strong thoughts there on Perkins?
I honestly really like him as a starter in the future. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I was speculating on him already as a guy who very likely could be the head of that bullpen if Miller was gone. The only thing I struggle with trusting that they're going to do that, you know, that they're going to actually stick to one guy. I was just pulling it up here. What else they have in the pen is really not pretty. I mean, it's a whole lot of failed starters who were like number four starters, not guys who had holy crap stuff, but like Sean Newcomb and
your boy.
Yeah. And Osvaldo Beto, you know, those type of guys are not going to be taken over as your closers. Right. Now they have some more high octane arms in AAA. In fact, they have a really solid AAA pitching staff. It wouldn't surprise me if they bring up a couple of them to fill in the backside of that bullpen right now, but with the opportunity to allow them to move up into a more late inning role. But you just don't know who that will be right now. Right now, Perkins is the known quantity. He's the guy who has the stuff to play in the role. You almost have to assume him. But for all we know, you know, Elvis Alvarado is going to be the guy getting the saves. You know, that's the type of, when you have a team that's really not playing and going for it, they can try a few things, you know, they can mix and match.
Yeah. What do you think, Britton?
Jack Perkins is very talented, 25 years old. He got the last save. Another guy in the bullpen, I think they'll probably try to take Jack and make him a long reliever and then try to stretch him out, make him a full-time starter next year because he's got the stuff and he can do it. But Justin Sterner is one guy that is mm-hmm. in their bullpen that actually looks pretty good. He got the hold yesterday, got a win on Saturday. So I kind of like Justin Sterner. I mean, this is all wild like $1 speculation, obviously. But, I mean – I think the A's are going to win some games. You know, the Severino's won a couple games here recently. They got JT Ginn, who's good. Like, and I like their offense too. You know, you've got Kurtz, the AL Rookie of the Year, Nick Kurtz. Shout out Nick Kurtz, Heart of Darkness, the horror. That's a Joseph Conrad reference for all you literature buffs out there.
I mean, it was just a month ago that we were talking about his teammate as the rookie.
Jack Wilson. Yeah.
And how it could, you know, if it, you know, maybe just a week later that it was, oh, this is a three-way race with Wilson and Cam Smith and Kurtz. And Kurtz yeah. just, you know, has been basically the best player in baseball for the last month. And
oh, he made history.
Separated it.
He made Major League Baseball yeah. history one night with four home runs and I don't remember how many RBIs. All right, but you know what? Literally Major League Baseball history. So if he doesn't yep. win it, you know,
he locked it up that night.
It's rigged.
Yeah, yeah he locked it up that night.
He pretty much has to go into some sort of a slump where he ends up hitting like 240 for the year. For him to lose that award.
I'm not sure he even loses it if he does that. I mean, there's not really anybody else that's bucking for the job. I mean, Jack Wilson's now hurt and Cam Smith hasn't been that great either. So it'd have to be a combination of Kurtz playing like crap and Cam Smith playing out of his mind. So, which, you know, again, I'm not saying it can't happen, but, you know, Kurtz, I think, has a pretty strong lead there for the mm-hmm. for the AL Rookie of the Year.
Okay. Okay. This is Theodore from Cumberland Chipmunks. You're listening to my favorite fantasy baseball podcast, the Polanco Podcast. Okay. Two L's, two Z's.
Okay. Hey, football fans. Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger fuel centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointstc.
Hey, football fans. Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger fuel centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointstc.
Guys, another bullpen I want to quickly talk about before we get into my next segment, because I do want to do this with Britton, because I think this will be comedic gold. And something we talked about in our Discord, for those of you guys who aren't in it, make sure you guys check us out. Get in the Palazzo Podcast Discord. There's tons of people in there that can help out on a daily basis. We talked about the San Francisco Giant bullpen now with Camilo Duvall out. Britt and I were very strong on Randy Rodriguez. Ben, it sounds like you were big on the Ryan Walker, who had the job going into the season, for those of you guys who don't remember, and then obviously faltered in the role and Camilo Duvall got it back. Randy Rodriguez has been rather good. And I probably gotten this question a lot and it's buzzing on Twitter, obviously, with Duvall out now. Any strong thoughts there in regards to the role there in terms of who takes it first? Or maybe this is a split bullpen in terms of maybe they share the duty.
Yeah, wait, I'm confused. I thought this was going to be my movie review of Happy Gilmore 2. I'm just kidding. I'm not watching that. I'm not going to watch that. That's not happening. I'm going to keep my memory of Happy Gilmore and Billy Madison safe where it belongs in the 90s.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
that's where I'm keeping it safe. But yep. I'm just kidding. So, I'm sure it's great.
I think Rodriguez and Walker, very likely they'll play hot hand. Both of them are guys who Walker is more of a dead zone fastball, but he comes at it with a goofy angle. And so it makes it tough to hit when he's on and he's locating that. Even though it's a dead zone fastball, he can work with it. Rodriguez has more of a flat slider, which is a really effective thing because it's unique. But if he doesn't locate that well, it can sit in the middle of the zone and it's a 90 mile an hour meatball in the middle of the zone. Either way, you're looking at probably a guy who has his faults, but either one could go on a streak where, I mean, Rodriguez to this point in the year has been like a 1.2, 1.3 ERA. Absolutely, he could go on a run the rest of the way where he keeps that up. Walker could turn around and he could go on a run where he's a 1.5 ERA the rest of the way or something like that. I could see either one of them doing it. I wouldn't get rid of your shares if you have shares of either one, but I probably this Sunday, I'm probably not bidding heavily on either one unless over the next 3 days, Rodriguez saves three games or something like that. You know, if if it's very obvious that they're saying, hey, this is our guy now.
Yeah.
I'm a big Randy Rodriguez fan. I have been all season long. I bought in on him in every league that I could. But he doesn't have a whole lot of closer experience. We'll see.
No.
But hey, I was looking at the bullpen.
This last week was the first time he had ever gone back to back days too. That's something to keep in mind.
That's a great point, man. Great point. They are going to everything that I've read, they are going to monitor Randy Rodriguez's innings. They're going to be real careful with him because I think he is kind of their future star. Yeah, he's their, I think they he's want their Duvall. Yep. And yeah, this is a lost season. So they're not going to, you know, pound him into the ground trying to make the playoffs or make the wild card or anything like that. I think they're going to be careful with him. I think they're going to give him a legit shot because they want him to get into the mentality of closer. Because obviously I know what Buster Posey's thinking because, you know, we're good friends and we talk. No, I don't know. But I would guess that – but he's so talented and he's having such a good season. Yeah. It would literally be a slap to his face if they didn't give him some saving ops.
Oh, yeah.
But, hey, funny guys, I was just looking at the bullpen. Joey Lucchese is in the Giants. But y'all remember Joey Lucchese from the Mets, the lefty starter for years?
Never heard of her.
I don't know her.
He has been good. I watched he came in against the Braves a couple weeks, whatever they played the Giants. And the stuff is he's added a couple ticks of velocity and it's playing very well, especially from the left side coming out of the bullpen. He had a different plan for right and for left-handed hitters. And that works well when you're a reliever. You can do that for four hitters. When you have to do that for four innings, it's a little different ballgame because you got to have multiple plans for each right-handed hitter you face. And that's where he always seemed to struggle is the stuff is it's good. It's just not good enough to see multiple times without hitting it hard. And, yeah, he's doing very well in the bullpen. I'm surprised it took him this long to make that transition.
Yeah. Good for him. I remember he was a starter for the Padres, a starter for the Mets. And he had that huge delivery, you know, that lefty.
Weird.
Yeah, that lefty huge. Even made Madison Bumgarner look fluid, you know. But
jeez, yeah. But the, good for him. The one thing I want to talk about, and Ben brought it up too, there wasn't really any big splashes, but it happened late last night, and my guy, Eugenio Suarez, gets traded to Seattle. I would say that's probably the biggest hitter move of free agency. Or I'm sorry, not free agency, the trade deadline.
If you go back to June, maybe Rafi Devers, but that's...
Yeah.
You pretty much have to go back that far.
Yeah. Right, yeah. But... strong thoughts on Eugenio Suarez. Now, obviously, goes to a bigger ballpark. Out of all the teams that were interested, I was hoping that he'd go to somewhere like Philly or Houston or the Cubs, maybe even Detroit. But for me, this is probably the worst possible scenario for Eugenio Suarez and his power going to Seattle here. It's not, I mean, obviously, they don't play all of their games in Seattle, which is good, but, you know, it moves back over to the AL. I still think we're talking about a guy who's going to hit, you know, 30, 40 home runs before when it's all said and done and probably have a career high in both RBIs and home runs at the end of the year. But batting fifth tonight for Seattle. Any strong thoughts on Eugenio in terms of his fantasy value moving forward?
Mike V, you've already made your money on Eugenio Suarez. Like,
of course,
you can go ahead and color in those chips. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, but I hear you. But yeah, don't color in and then take your chip and then put that 500 or that one, you know, 1,000 on that roulette table. Just go cash it. You're good. Just go. I'm just kidding. Yeah. But hey, at least he's familiar with Seattle. Like it's not.
I was just going to say, this is a guy who had 53 home runs in two seasons with Seattle. It's not like he can't get the ball out there. So there's every opportunity that he could still give you. You might not see him finish out the year with 60 or even with, you know, 55.
Yeah.
But is it crazy to think that over 2 months he could get you to 50? I don't think it is.
No, I don't think so. I don't think so either. I know when Sam was on the show and when he was with Gove, I talked about it too, that if they were to acquire, and when they were rumoring that they could get Naylor and Suarez, does this make Seattle the front runner in the AL, guys? I mean, it almost has to be, right? If the rotation is healthy.
Front runner?
Think about it. I don't know about that. Let me make my case. If they have a healthy George Kirby, a healthy Logan Gilbert, Matt Brash, Andres Munoz, they got Naylor and Suarez now in the mix, Cal Raleigh, Randy Arozarena, Julio Rodriguez has been hitting really well recently. I think they have a good mix of yin and yang between their starting rotation and their offense now, adding two big, big impact bats. If it's not Seattle, who is it?
I just want to say I love what Seattle's done.
Yeah.
They've added players to excite their team. Suarez was hugely popular. He still is, obviously. Like when he got traded, they had the team playing, you know, stay on the tarmac. And then they brought up, they didn't tell the team why that they were waiting on the tarmac. Then they had Eugenio Suarez walk up and go through the plane and high five everybody. You know, it's little things like that that I think. Yeah. Are a big momentum boost for your team as we sit here in the dog days. And you know, the Seattle's hitting has been up and down. Of course, Cal Raleigh's been always up, but you know what I mean? Like,
yep.
Remember when Polanco went on that crazy run for like a month? Where's that dude? He's back up, though.
He's back. He hit a home run yesterday.
All right, here we go. Yeah. Hey, it's that Eugenio Suarez, flavor. It's just sprinkled on everybody. So I like it. You know, you're right when you think about it. I'm like, okay, so what's funny is that I didn't realize that the Astros have 62 wins. They have a five game lead on the Mariners. You're right. I think they're definitely in the thick of it. They're tied with the Rangers.
They are the most complete team. I think if you go top to bottom, if everyone is performing at their, let's say, 85th percentile of what their max could be, they're the best team. I just think, and I've thought this all year, at the start of the year, I thought out of the top, you know, 8-10 teams, there was one or two American League teams on that list. The National League has such deep rosters throughout. I mean, it's going to be, you know, the Phillies, the Mets, the Padres, the Dodgers, you know, I mean, heck, the Brewers have been the best team in stinking baseball.
Crazy.
Like, holy cow. Chicago's got a heck of a lineup. And when their rotation is healthy, it's deep. They just don't have that holy crap number one guy the way that they probably want. But yeah, I think that Seattle could be that. Issue is, are they going to get the rotation healthy before the end of the year? And that's the biggest thing for them, because that's where their differentiation is, because they have so much a better rotation than anyone else in the American League.
And Julio Rodriguez is a second half hitter, player.
Superstar.
He is. Yeah. Yep. So we'll see how that goes too. Yeah. It's pretty exciting for Seattle. They've done some big moves, and that's the beauty of baseball too, because you know, with this trade deadline, we had all this excitement, all these good moves. These teams, like last year, if you remember, Tommy Edman went to the Dodgers, and everybody's like, who cares? He helped them win a World Series, you know? Yeah, made a valid, like, impact on that team. So
Jesus Sanchez is going to, you know, be, you know, 15 home runs the rest of the way, and we're all going to go, well, God, obviously the Astros knew what they were doing, you know?
Right.
I can't believe the Astros are winning that division. I knew they were doing okay, but I didn't realize that they were winning that division. Amazing.
Yeah. By a ways.
Yeah. Jeremy Pena has been a revelation this year, a huge breakout, obviously hurt now, but even with the crappy seasons that Yandy Diaz and Christian Walker have both had, plus Yordan being hurt, no Kyle Tucker,
how they have 62 wins, it's almost as mystifying as Milwaukee being one of the best teams in the NL. So,
yeah,
if I had said to both of you guys in the beginning of the season that the Astros were going to be this depleted, not just in the starting rotation, but also on offense and having a down year from Diaz and Walker, and I said, hey, at this time of year, they're going to be leading the West at 62 and 47. Everyone would have looked at you like you were nuts. So, yeah.
Especially if you would have told me that Cal Raleigh is going to be on pace to hit 60 home runs, you know, because that would have been that extra piece of juice that the Mariners offense needed.
Right. Yeah. Who would have thought that Victor Carantini is the Houston Astros like most valuable player? Like what is happening? Yes. love you baseball. That's all you can say. Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey guys, I got to quickly hop off here. It's been a pleasure. You guys can definitely keep the show rolling. I might be able to hop back on maybe if you guys are still on in about 30 minutes, but I appreciate the time. Baseball, Ben said it earlier, there's not a better sport for the trade deadline this year and every year, but this year's particularly was super fun and a lot more to unpack as the week goes on. But thank you guys very much, and I'll talk to you guys soon.
Later, Mike V.
All right, good to see you guys. We'll see you, buddy.
All right, it's just me and Ben when the parents are off.
Yeah, dun dun dun.
The children will play. Were there any other trades you saw today, Ben, that tickled your fancy that you thought, "Wow, that's really interesting"? We've covered a lot, but I was curious to see what you thought.
I mean, I will say I thought it was interesting in the Dustin May deal that they got Tibbs back. James Tibbs went back to the Dodgers.
Yeah, I saw that.
And so second, you know, I do a piece for my website on every player traded in June and July who has rookie eligibility. So it gets to be a very, very lengthy piece, but it kind of covers all of those prospects that, you know, might otherwise slip underneath the fence a little bit.
Sure.
Tibbs is one of two guys who ended up having his team change twice in that span of time. The other one, just for those who are wondering, Brian Van Bello was actually traded today. He was initially traded for cash earlier in late June or early July. So, but that Tibbs going to the Dodgers, I think is really interesting. They really didn't do much. The Dodgers didn't do a whole lot. But it's one of those things where they did a lot on the edges to maybe, you know, free up some space, you know, free up some roster space, free up some, I don't know that they freed up a ton of financial space, but, you know, they just did Dodger things. They acquired a lot of players for a little bit of input, and it's going to make that system all the more deep. But I really like, and it pains me as a Braves fan to say this, I really like what the Mets did.
Yeah.
The Mets really have put together a nice, you know, this is a team that was bringing up a guy that they literally signed off the streets in Alex Carrillo to pitch in the seventh inning in his major league debut. I mean, their bullpen was in shambles just a few weeks ago. And here they are now with a really, really strong back three now.
Yeah, so some of the Mets moves today, they acquired Cedric Mullins from the O's to play center field, which, you know, we could discuss center Cedric Mullins' defensive metrics in center field. Not great, but I think he's there more for his bat and to make plays, but let me know if I'm wrong. And also, I think the main thing about the Mets is like, so their big splash was Ryan Helsley, right? The closer for the Cardinals, and they went out and got Ryan Helsley, who's having a great couple years of closing and being at the top of all the metrics, you know, with stuff and, you know, giving Edwin Diaz maybe a little bit of breathing room too. And Tyler Rogers, who, you know, people are like, Tyler Rogers, you like the submarine guy? I'm like, look, if you look at all this stuff, the analysis, he's been one of the best relievers in baseball for the past 3 years. And people are like, Tyler Rogers? I'm like, yeah, Tyler Rogers, believe it or not. So those were two big gets, and I think that was so great because the Mets are in contention. And
don't forget Gregory Soto, too.
And Gregory, yeah, they did that like last week, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And because I think it's so smart because you don't want to leave, more power to Ryan Stanek's hair and his mullet. But you don't want to leave the eighth inning to him. You just don't.
No.
You know?
Or Reed Garrett. Reed Garrett can be streaky and be very good, but you want Reed Garrett to be streaky and very good in the seventh inning, in the sixth inning. You know, you don't want him to be the guy you need to get a holy crap out in the eighth inning of a ball game before he handed off to Diaz. And you don't want Diaz to have to pitch, multiple innings every time out just to possibly win it. I mean, you've seen the method before with the Royals where they, years back, they ended up winning with that bullpen where, five guys in that bullpen could come out and save the game any given night.
Right.
But the Mets have a deep rotation. I won't say that their rotation is elite by any means, but it is. They've got a solid rotation. They've got an excellent lineup, especially as far as working over a pitcher. I mean, that's one thing I've been amazed this year. I don't think the walk numbers. No, they're not bad. The walk numbers for Pete Alonso haven't really shown it much, but he is working pitchers deep. And then you get guys like Lindor and Soto who already were really good at working a pitcher. That's you come out of that first inning as a pitcher and you're worn out. You love that out of your lineup. And then you add in a guy like Mullins who is good at doing the same. But one thing I noticed, you mentioned the defense thing. Everyone on Twitter went ballistic saying, so now who are the Mets going to trade Tyrone Taylor to? And I'm thinking, nobody. You want him on your bench to play center field defense in the eighth and ninth inning.
Yeah, and that's a great point.
And keep him out. Because, Jeff McNeil has played center. They've had Ronnie Mauricio taking center field hits. Jose Siri was kind of who they thought they would or who they wanted to have as that defense guy, and he just hasn't – he hasn't – yet had a hit, but it's been bad. But when you're playing guys like Brandon Nimmo and Jeff McNeil in center field, there's absolutely a need. And Mullins is even an improvement over those guys.
I love the fact that the Mets got Ryan Helsley, Tyler Rogers, and got a lefty bat that they also could use, with Cedric Mullins. But I was looking at their rotation, and Kodai Senga has been doing well. David Peterson has been doing well again this year. Clay Holmes got a little roughed up recently. Sean Manaea's back. They've got to get some innings out of him. But it's so fun, I think. And I grew up in Jackson, Tennessee, Ben, and there's not really a Major League Baseball team anywhere close to Jackson, Tennessee. It's in between Memphis and Nashville. But so I don't really have a team. But I always think it's good for baseball, just in general, to have the Mets and the Yankees playing well, because that just gets everybody fired up for the game. And and I love it too. And I don't hate on any team. I want everybody to compete at the best. But we talked about some teams that are competing that didn't really make a signature move, and we talked about the Red Sox. What about the Phillies? Like but
they got Duran.
They got Duran. That's true. That was a great move. They gave up Mick Abel for Duran, which I thought was sneaky good for the Minnesota Twins. And Mick Abel is major league ready. Like they can plop him in the rotation, and he can be a starter for the next 3 years, barring injury. So I thought that was a good get for the Twins. And of course, Philly definitely has that need for having a closer, with Alvarado on his suspension still, I believe. I don't know.
Yeah.
But
he won't be able to play. He won't be able to pitch in the playoffs.
So, yeah, that's exactly the point I was going to bring up. Yeah. So even when he comes back, he can't pitch in the playoffs as part of his suspension. So, that was a great move for the Phillies too. But I don't know. I just thought maybe that the Philadelphia Phillies are a prime time contention, and I thought they might move Lizardo into the bullpen or Walker, and try to add another big time, starting pitcher. But wouldn't that be a great move though if you're the Phillies? So you get an elite closer, and then you go get Alcantara or Merrill Kelly would have been good, but just didn't happen for whatever reason. But the Phillies faithful would have gone bonkers nuts if they had gotten an elite closer and a starting pitcher, right?
So here is something that, from what I understand, the Twins were very big on Eduardo Tait. And so he was going to be part of the deal. Initially, they would not back off of Painter, and the Phillies were saying, well, then we want to get Joe Ryan in this deal too.
Sure.
And the Twins said, well, sure, but then that's not the whole deal. It's Painter, Tait, and, here's our list of guys that we would take as a third. And the Phillies kind of went, whoa, 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 whoa. No, no, no. See, we really like Painter. We aren't going to put Painter in this deal no matter what, is what I understand happened. And from that point, the Twins basically said, well, then you can have Ryan or you can have Duran. Which one would you like? Because you're not getting both for the price you want to pay. It sounds like the Phillies were really insistent that they will not include Painter. And he's been solid in AAA. You kind of wonder if maybe is that the guy that's their end of season or their rest of season, holy crap type of move. Does he come up and for four innings a night, he comes out and you back him up with Taiwan Walker or someone like that, or Jesus Lizardo. And rather than those guys getting shelled trying to go six, those guys go three or four with him going three or four. That could be a solid setup for them. And you get that elite arm who maybe then is extended and he's ready for October to potentially be a long man in your bullpen. Or, you could do that as a start for one of your playoff games.
Yeah, the Phillies are so close. You can feel it. Like, you've got Zach Wheeler and Christopher Sanchez as your 1-2, but who's your 3? Luzardo can't be trusted. Walker can't be trusted. Ranger Suarez is probably your third.
Probably the closest to that, yeah.
Yeah. And, your bats are good. You got Turner, Schwarber, Harper, Realmuto, Castellanos. But man, that's a fall. That's a hard fall after that. I mean, Stott's been terrible. Otto Kemp's a rookie, and you added Harrison Bader. But aren't we all just kind of over Harrison Bader? Like he's good on defense, but he can be fine. But he's not nothing to write home about as far as offense.
I think Harrison Bader just means that you're not going to see guys like Cal Stevenson the rest of the year. You're just the kind of roster fodder outfielder isn't coming up the rest of the year.
Yeah.
And instead they're going to have, the ability to have someone like Rojas as a defense and speed fifth outfielder, and Bader can be that true fourth outfielder.
Man, that Max Kepler deal, and I like Max Kepler, but they paid him $10 million for 1 year. And man, his WRC plus is 81, well below average. They look for a little bit of thump with a lefty, and 32 years old. I like Max Kepler and all, but man, that just didn't work out, did it?
No, the defense is slumped enough to where it's not good, and that's too bad. I like Max Kepler, good guy, fun guy to watch, but it's not working. And the other issue is then they run into Kepler and Marsh both really need to sit against lefties. And that's two of your three starting outfielders. Well, that really, and then, you're bringing in Rojas for one of them. That really hurts the outfield when you're bringing in, a guy like Rojas to try and play against lefties. So,
I don't know how they've, I mean, Andrew Painter is one thing. He's the, other than maybe Bubba Chandler, he's the, you know, the best prospect, pitching prospect in. But what about, do the Philadelphia Phillies have anything as far as prospect wise that they could bring up the kind of, I know people love Justin Crawford, but is there anyone else that they could bring up to kind of, you know, I'm trying to think of back in the day, like, you know, when Trey Turner got brought up, some player to just kind of energize, you know, the team a little bit, because the Philadelphia Phillies, not that they're old, but you look here are the ages of their starting five, 32, 32, 32, 34, 33, you know, hey, I wish I was 33 years old, but I'm not. But you know, I don't think it'd be a bad idea to bring up somebody that, you know, kind of electrify these guys, these vets a little bit. What do you think? Is there anybody? What about Rincones? Don't they have a guy named Rincones?
Yep, Gabriel Rincones. And you know,
Rincones, I apologize, dude. Yeah, I can screw up a name with the best of them, man. That's just, hey, like.
I podcast with Robbie, so you know. But in all seriousness, he's one of those guys that you're just not sure what you're going to get game to game. 217 batting average this year in AAA. And yeah, the walk rate and strikeout rate is actually probably one of the best of his career, but he's not making decent contact. He's hitting it well when he does make contact, but you know, 11 homers, 13 doubles. He's an athletic enough guy to have 13 steals. But the guy who I really think you brought up, the one guy they have that could be that kind of electrifier, and that's Crawford. But he brings a skill set that they really don't need right now. You know, he's an all-speed and contact guy. And that'd be all well and good if your leadoff hitter wasn't Kyle Schwarber, you know? It's kind of hard to get a, you know, an exciting guy. You know, for instance, a lot of teams love to plug in a guy like that in the nine spot in the order. And, you know, good batting average guy, he's going to get on ahead of our leadoff guy. You know, I loved when the Braves could do that when Michael Harris first came up. They put him in nine and they had Acuna at one. And Acuna's always got a guy on base then. And that just bugged the crap out of the pitcher. And so he actually got decent pitches to hit. That's something that would work really well, except that then when, you know, if he's on base and he's trying to move around, well, then you've got a guy who's going to take pitches anyway, you know, in Schwarber, you know. It's,
right.
The other guy is Aiden Miller is probably their other top prospect.
Yeah.
I don't think he's ready right now. He's an infielder. I don't think he's ready for major league infield time. Otherwise, honestly, as bad as Bryson Stott has been, Miller would be up right now if they thought his bat was ready, because he'd have to shift to second base, and I think they would take the defensive stuff just to get a better bat in there if they could. But
so no. Hey Ben, I just got a text. It appears that Michael Govier is not going to be joining us anytime soon,
okay,
or pulling the plug. So we've been going for about an hour, a little bit more. So any last thoughts on the trade deadline?
One thing.
Go ahead.
I think we should maybe touch on, just because folks are going to be curious about it. What are your thoughts on the bullpens in St. Louis and in Minnesota, both of which were pretty decimated over the trade deadline?
What a great question. I'm glad you asked, because in my Auto New League a week ago, I picked up Jojo Romero in the Cardinals bullpen, lefty. And so they had Ryan Helsley was the closer, Phil Maton is the setup guy, and then Jojo is the lefty, you know, kind of facing matchups, whatever. But Jojo Romero's had a really good year. So I picked him up. So we'll see. I like Jojo Romero for the Cardinals. Minnesota, I don't have any idea. Yeah. 0.0. Jax is gone. Duran's gone. If you know something, let me know. Louis Varland's gone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think by default, Cole Sands is the guy because he's really the only guy left.
Last man standing, as they
Cody
say.
Cody Funderburk or Funderbunk or something like that.
Yep.
That's about the only two that are left. The one I will bring up in St. Louis that is interesting to me, just they have still a bullpen with a whole lot of high velocity arms. Riley O'Brien is really interesting to me, and Kyle Leahy, both of them bring some really hard velocity stuff and could be interesting in that position. But mainly because you're talking Romero, you're talking a lefty. And so a lot of teams don't like to hand over the closing job to a lefty, but Romero certainly has the ability, you would think, to do it. But man, the Twins are going to be interesting, because I think when you add in a guy like Taj, or you get in their deals, they got Taj Bradley and Mick Abel. They already had Zebby and Festa in the rotation, and they really didn't, they got rid of Paddock. They didn't clear a whole lot of room in that rotation to add in two more arms. You kind of think somebody might be going to the bullpen, or at least maybe having piggyback starts the rest of the way.
Yeah, interesting. If you look at the Minnesota starting pitchers in AAA, one pitcher is having a great year, Marco Reyes, 23 years old. Sure? I think so.
He's a big prospect, but last I saw he had like a 6 ERA.
Oh, is he? Yeah. Well, I'm just looking at roster resource. It says he's fifth in the organization. Marco Reyes.
He's a high rated guy.
Yeah, I've been there, done that. You know, highly rated, poor results. You know.
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel you, Marco. But your point is exactly right. So Cole Sands looks, if you want to spec on a closer for Minnesota, Cole Sands is the most experienced. And frankly, like you said, the guys below him, like Justin Topa, he's not good, man.
No,
he's Funderbunk, not. Yeah, like sure. Mike Tonkin is still in the league. Okay. Yeah, Cole Sands is 100% the guy to take a bet on. And for the Cardinals, I like JoJo Romero, but as you said, Kyle Leahy, also very interesting. So I think those are some great names to think about.
I think if you're wondering what to do come Sunday, and you guys will have, tomorrow's show, you'll have a Sunday show to talk through some of this stuff. I think it's probably a smart idea to watch, like we were talking about with the Giants, the Cardinals, the Twins. These are the teams that move their closer. The Pirates, you kind of know who's taken over that role. Yeah. Dennis Santana is kind of the slide-in guy right there. But otherwise, look at what they're going to do in those bullpens. The Orioles could be interesting because they traded away everyone other than Bautista, and Bautista is hurt right now. So maybe for a weekend, you kind of watch. But I would pay very close attention these next few days, because it's going to say a lot who they trust first.
Yeah, that's a great point. Yeah, this Sunday Fab show is going to be stressful, man. It's going to be stressful. So much has happened today. The Padres bought everybody. The Twins sold everybody. We'll see how the dust settles here the next day. There were only 3 Major League Baseball games today. I guess because of the trade deadline. I assume that's why they did
it. And all of them were all either early or very late. Nothing was taking place. The whole point was that nothing is taking place as the trade deadline hits.
Right, while the teams are trying to get things done. But if you're a fan of Ryan Pepiot like I am for the Rays, don't look at the start. Just don't. Just worry about how your team did. Just click past that. Don't worry about it. But Ben, I think
go ahead. Brian Hayes is playing for the Reds tonight.
Already. I love that. I think that's a great move.
One move I really liked.
It's interesting too, because they moved Nolvi Marte, who was their big acquisition, giving up Luis Castillo to the Seattle Mariners, right? Mm-hmm. They've moved Marte into the outfield, like, you know, I guess they had this plan all along or something. I don't think it's, you know, an accident that they moved him off third base to open up a space for Ke'Bryan Hayes.
So here's irony. Ke'Bryan Hayes in his first game with the Reds committed an error.
Yeah, of course he did. He's all nervous. You know?
That's great. Carlos Carrasco, six innings for the Braves tonight against
good
the
for
Reds.
Him. Way to go, Cookie. I root for that guy. Good for him. First times I ever played fantasy baseball was in 2015. And for whatever reason, I ended up drafting a lot of the Cleveland. It was Indians at that time. Now it's Guardians. But I drafted Corey Kluber, Carlos Carrasco, Danny Salazar, Trevor Bauer. Oh, yeah. And they were all on that Cleveland team and all went 200 innings. And all had all these strikeouts, and that was Kluber's, I think, his first Cy Young year. But anyway, so yeah, I have a special place in my heart for Carlos Carrasco. I wish him the best.
So, well,
anyway,
on that note,
I think we're about done. Ben, thank you so much for hanging out. Well, I'm glad we got to cross pollinate our shows. That's always fun. And I can't wait to see you in Arizona. I heard you're going to first pitch.
Yep.
That'll be fun in Mesa, Arizona. Looking forward to that. But any other trade takeaways before we sign off?
Just pay attention to, because I found just as I was loading up trade rumors that there was a deal way after the deadline, and now it disappeared. But there was a
is that Shelby Miller?
Dietrich Entz. The Tigers are creating room. But apparently that had to be done before the deadline because he was a 40-man guy.
Yeah.
And the Tigers had just acquired Cody Hewer, and so he needed to be on the 40. They designated Entz, and they were able to trade him. But, I mean, those little things, there's going to be deals that we missed. You know, we haven't even talked about Willie Castro. You know, haven't talked about so many of these different guys that got traded. There's going to be interesting stuff to kind of come out in the next few days that you're like, wait, the Royals picked up Mike Yastrzemski. Well, what on earth? And they did. And so we're gonna pick up some fun things like that. After all this dust has settled, we'll be able to kind of pick ourselves up and go, oh wow, that's a lot of. Okay, that guy's there now. I forgot that, which some of these guys, I forgot he was even in the league.
Oh, the dust is going to start settling. It's too dusty right now to pick up everything. Everything that happened today was a wild whirlwind. But please come watch our Fab show on Sunday. It's a live stream, me and Mike V. Please watch it. We're going to talk about players we're going to pick up through all this. And then, of course, Ben and Robbie do their prospect show, which a lot of prospects got traded. So how does that affect
on everything? Monday, that is our big thing, is we are going to be addressing kind of the prospect fallout of the trade deadline. So if you tune into our Monday show, that is what we are discussing this week.
On the Monday show, plus catcher talk, which they love. and what's happening to Shea Wickham? No one knows, not even his agent.
And Rockies talk, obviously.
Rockies, everyone wants to know what the Rockies are up to these days. All right, signing off. Thank you, everyone, for watching. Catch you next time. Thank you, Ben.
Yep.
Falling times in Cleveland again. Still Cleveland. Come on down to Cleveland Town, everyone. Come and see our baseball team play ball. Maybe place a bet before you get there. Place a bet on the first pitch of the game. Don't worry if you forgot to place a bet. There are ads everywhere across the field. Make a paper airplane with a note and send it to the Cleveland Bullpen now. Ask for any leads on player props. The Cleveland Bullpen is filled with gambling pros. After all, we did this shit for 70 years. Then we thought that this was a better idea. But MLB don't give a shit. Shit! Plus, Cleveland wishes they were Detroit now!
Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointsTC.
Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointsTC.